I'd like to thank Reverend Park for the words of welcome. It's good to be here again tonight and to share with you in this harvest service. Good to hear Melanie again singing, and we've enjoyed her ministry many times in Ballygowan. Hopefully not too long before we enjoy that fellowship again. But with present times, it's different, isn't it? But it's good to see you tonight, and we trust the Lord will bless our coming together. Good to renew fellowship, Reverend Park and his wife, and we trust the Lord will continue to bless his work here in this corner of the vineyard. We're turning tonight to the book of Galatians, chapter 6, the book of Galatians, chapter 6, and the verse number 1. Reading together the first 9 verses of this passage of God's word, the first 9 verses of the 6th chapter of Galatians. And let us hear the word of God tonight. The word of God says here, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work. And then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Amen. And we know that God will bless the reading of his precious, inerrant, inspired, and infallible word. Let's bow together for a moment of prayer. Our gracious God, we come to thee in the closing part of this service tonight. We thank thee for what already has taken place. We thank thee for the hymns that we have sung, reminding us of the harvest and of thy bountiful provision. We thank thee for the ministry and song from thy servant, again linking into this theme of the harvest and reminding us there about sowing and reaping, and even what we are coming to even in this very passage tonight as we consider thy word. And Father, we come now and pray for help from heaven, that thou wilt hide us behind the cross, that none will be seen save Jesus only, and that he alone will be glorified tonight. Pray for thy presence and thy power in this place tonight, for everyone who listens in to this service in this building and beyond. We pray that thou wilt work tonight effectually for thy glory. We pray in Jesus' name, and for God's eternal glory. Amen. The theme tonight that I want to take is that of sowing and reaping. And it is linked in perfectly with what Melanie was singing in her second piece this evening. You'll find the text there in Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." Harvest is a very special time. The golden grain, the fields ready for the harvest. And even traveling tonight up in the earlier part of the evening, you could see that the fields have been harvested for the most part. And the harvesters have been hard at work, and the barns filled with the harvest. That time of year when the harvest is gathered in and laid in store for the winter months ahead. And how thankful we are tonight for God's bounty and for God's provision. And we gather again at a harvest service when we give thanks to the Lord for his provision. And we say with the words of Scripture tonight, great is thy faithfulness. We are ever amazed at the wonderful provision of the Lord year by year. We call to mind the words of that Scripture in the book of Genesis, chapter 8 and verse 22. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. And God is ever true to his word and fulfills his promises day and daily as we go through the course of our lives. As we examine the Scriptures further, we discover that the harvest theme is brought before us again and again. In Psalm 126, for example, we have mentioned sowing and reaping. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. And again in the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ, by way of parables, he used the harvest theme. You think of that great chapter there, chapter 13 of Matthew, where the Lord Jesus Christ again and again, through his parabolic teaching, used the harvest theme to instruct his hearers and to instruct us all in spiritual lessons. And so the Bible is replete with references to harvest, right to the end of the Bible. In the book of the Revelation, we have references there to the harvest as well. For example, in Revelation chapter 14 and verse 15, the word is this: thrust in thy sickle and reap. For the time has come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. And see again tonight in the words of our text, words that we want to focus upon tonight, you will quickly realize that we're on the harvest theme. We're on the theme of sowing and reaping. The words of the Apostle Paul under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. It is our prayer that in the closing moments of our service tonight, that these precious words from his precious word will be written upon your heart. Sowing and reaping. That's our theme tonight. And there are some things, a number of things that I want to underline in these verses of Scripture tonight. First of all, the exhortation: be not deceived. And what a solemn exhortation this is. Dear friends, we live in a world that is full of deception. And people everywhere in our societies, young, middle-aged, and old, are being deceived. And the arch-deceiver is at large in this world, the prince of the power of the air, the devil himself, and those employed by him are engaged in this work of deception. We see this right from the beginning of time. In the Garden of Eden there in Genesis chapter 3, that the serpent, Satan, the devil, the adversary, slithered into the lives of our first parents, Adam and Eve. And with all of his guile and his subtlety and his craftiness and his cunning, he caused them to be deceived, and they fell, and they sinned against God. And the fall took place, and this world has suffered the consequences of that fall ever since. And ever since then, we have the evidence of this deception in this world, in the lives of people, no matter what their background may be. Oh, the deception of Satan
and of sin. The attractions and the allurements that are brought before us, the temptations that he, the devil, brings before us to turn us aside into the pathway of sin and unrighteousness. The Bible speaks of the deception of the world, the flesh, and the devil. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 16, the Apostle John said this concerning this matter. He spoke of the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. The very things that were evident in that deception that took place in the Garden of Eden in Genesis chapter 3 are evident in our society today. And these things, men and women, are constantly before us as we go through this world. The devil's enticement. He is out to deceive, and multitudes, perhaps even you tonight, as you listen to this message, are being deceived. And that deception is in the very heart of man. The Bible tells us, for example, there in the 17th chapter of Jeremiah and the verse 9, that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And according to the words of Mark chapter 7 and verse 22, that this deceit proceeds from within, out of the heart of man. And Satan has so deceived mankind that they think all of these pleasures that he brings before them will bring lasting satisfaction and will fill that void and that vacuum in their innermost being. Whereas the Word of God says that the pleasures of sin are but for a season. You see, my friend, according to Scripture, these things, these pleasures, these attractions, these temptations that Satan draws people into are but fleeting and fading and frail things. They end up in pain and sorrow and in death. They only bring disappointment and disillusionment and even deep distress and often the most awful depression. Be not deceived. And what is the Holy Spirit saying to us here through the words of the Apostle Paul? He's saying to us essentially, don't let the devil pull the wool over your eyes. He's only trying to ensnare you. This is a web of deceit from start to finish. Flee from it tonight. And flee to Christ, the one who upon the cross overcame Satan and defeated Satan. And through the precious blood of Christ applied to the individual heart tonight by faith, there is freedom and deliverance from all of the deceptions of Satan, all of the traps of the devil, all of the ensnarements that he would seek to bring you into, from the awful deception of the deceiver. And so there is this exhortation here. Be not deceived. But secondly, there is the exclamation here. It says, God is not mocked. You see, the thought is here, we're not to turn our nose up at God. God is not mocked. God does not permit anyone to make light of his gospel or the exhortations that are implied in it. To sneer at him tonight, thinking God is dead, will not go unnoticed. He will not permit it either to go unpunished. And yet mocking God is so prevalent in our society. And it always has been so in every age. They mock God today as they did in former times. and they will continue to do into the future, saying, there is no God. Bible says twice there in the book of Psalms, in Psalm 14:1 and Psalm 53, verse 1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And that's the cry of the secular society today, no God. There is no God. And we live in a society where atheism is to the fore and is promoted on every side. They mock God, don't they, in the seats of learning across this world, at every level in the education sector. They seek to bombard children and young people with their mocking of God by saying God does not exist. The cry of the world, men and women, tonight is, the multitudes of men and women throughout our societies, is no God. The world's media, too, have their agenda of engaging and mocking God, and they take every opportunity to do so. And they will trawl around to get as many people as they possibly can to come onto their programs and to use their airwaves and their outlets to promote their atheistic agenda. That's how it is. The mockers of God are everywhere. And no doubt, people tonight, you're meeting them in society, day and daily, in your various walks of life. Those that despise his name, those that dishonor his person, they trail his name in the mire, they utter their blasphemies against God, they take his name in vain, they break the third commandment, which says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. In fact, they mock God by breaking all of his commandments, all 10 of them. The Bible tells us of those who planted a crown of thorns and put it on the head of our blessed Savior on his way to the cross. And they put a reed in his right hand and bowed the knee before him. The Bible tells us there in Matthew 27, verse 29, they mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. The mocking crowd at the judgment seat of Christ where he was scourged. The mocking crowd at the cross, Matthew 27, 39 to 44. This included those who passed by the cross where Jesus was crucified. It also included the chief priests and the scribes and the elders, according to verse 41, the religious leaders of that day. Further, the thieves who were being crucified with the Lord Jesus, verse 44, although later one repented and turned to the Lord at the last. The Word of God tells us also in Luke 23:11 that Herod and his men of war set Jesus at naught and mocked him. And so right across the board, in the secular and religious world of his day, Jesus was mocked. The blessed Lord Jesus Christ, the pure and spotless, impeccable Son of God, was mocked. It's no different today, my friend. In Jude 17:18, it says, Beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you there should be mockers in the last time who would walk after their own ungodly lusts. And the evidence of these words, men and women, is before us day and daily. The Savior was mocked, and the Savior is mocked today, and will be mocked sadly tomorrow and into the future. But the servants of God were also mocked. Think of Paul when he preached at Mars Hill in Acts 17:32, when they heard, that is, the crowd heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. The preaching of God's servant was mocked. And as he preached Christ unto them and the resurrection of the blessed Savior, he was mocked. And so it has been down through the centuries of time. Those who have dared to open their mouths and to preach the Lord Jesus Christ have been bitterly opposed and mocked. The preaching of the great stalwarts of the faith were mocked. Right to this present day, and so it will be. But let me say a word again in the words of our text tonight. God is not mocked. God is not mocked. What an emphatic word this is tonight. It is clear, it is plain. The word of Scripture. There is a day of reckoning coming for all those who mock the God of heaven, who mock his gospel, who mock his people. God will deal with all such. They will be held to account. Whether they be religious or irreligious, whether they be kings, presidents, or prime ministers, whether they be popes or prelates or parsons, whether they be educated or uneducated, whatever their station may be or their standing may be in this world, none will escape the notice or the judgment of the God of heaven. Man may take little or no notice of it, but God is not mocked. That's what Scripture says tonight. And I trust that this word will be driven home to your heart tonight. There's the exhortation. There's the word here of exclamation. But there is also the word of explanation. And coming to this tonight in verse 7 and 8, it says, "For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. As sure as you sow, you will reap." And those who live the carnal, sensual life, instead of employing themselves to the honor of God and the good of others, spend all of their thoughts and their care about the flesh. They must expect no other fruit but corruption. That's what the Bible says here. A mean, short-lived satisfaction at present, ruin. And misery at the end of it. The hymn writer put it like this: after the sowing of sin is all done, after the glory of earth has been won, after the sands of thy life have all run, oh, what shall thy reaping be? Sowing. Sowing in Satan's might. Reaping eternal night. Sowing to the flesh means to have the old nature have its way. The inclination of the heart of man, the bias of man's will is towards sin. You see, men and women and young people tonight, we are sinners by nature and by practice. The Bible tells us in Psalm 51 and 5, "Behold, I was shapen iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." Yet again in Psalm 58 and 3, "The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies." How often do parents make the observation about those little ones that are born into their family? That he or she has a temper, has a will of their own, etc., etc. They will display, often in early days, jealousies, will even lie and even steal. You see, there is that old nature that we're born with into this world. That sinful nature that is manifested even in the early days and months and years of life. And man by nature walks the way of the flesh. He manifests the will of the flesh. He fulfills the lust of the flesh. And he or she has that carnal mind. And the Word of God teaches us in Romans 8, 7 and 8, the carnal mind is enmity against God, or is at variance with God, as the meaning is. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. And so there's this way of the flesh, and there's this will of the flesh, and there's this walking after the flesh, and there are, of course, these works of the flesh that are manifested in the individual life. And the sinner walks according to the course of this world. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 2. According to this prince of the power of the air, of course, that's Satan himself, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, having their conversation in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. The Scripture shows us this plainly. Genesis 6:5, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Let me ask you tonight, are you sowing the seeds of sin in your life? Are you sowing your wild oats in this world? What a harvest you will reap. You think of the prodigal son in that far country, how he lived for pleasure with his riotous living, wasting his substance. He spent all the Bible tells us. What a harvest. He found himself at his lowest point, would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. He's brought to his lowest point. The harvest of sin. Think of the harvest of the rich man with all of his plenty. And all of the harvest that he had reaped in the material sense. He said, I will take mine ease, I will eat, drink, and be merry. God said to him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. What a harvest he reaped. My friend, just as sure as there's the reaping of the physical, material, and temporal harvest, there will be the reaping of the spiritual harvest. What an awful harvest will be reaped by you as you continue sowing sin in this world. Again, the words of the hymn writer come to mind from that very same hymn we quoted earlier. After the pleasures of sin are all past, after the wealth of the world is amassed, when the death angel you face at the last, oh, what shall thy reaping be? What will your reaping be, my friend? That term corruption that's used here, he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. It indicates everlasting destruction or ruin. Ruin. And ruin lies before every Christ rejecter, every man, woman, or young person who dies without Christ. And if you die without Christ, my dear friend, let me tell you from God's word tonight, you will face eternal destruction. Bible says in 2 Thessalonians 1 and 9, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. You see, the end of sin is death. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. And the Bible says yet again, sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death, James 1:15. And those who have sown to the flesh will awaken, as Daniel 12:2 says, unto shame and everlasting contempt. Their worm will not die, neither will their fire be quenched. Mark 9:48. Condemnation. Damnation. Eternal separation from God. That's what awaits you, sinner, tonight. As you continue in the pathway of sin, as you continue that broad road that you're on tonight, it has at its end destruction. Destruction. Your dwelling place will be outside the banquet hall. You remember those foolish virgins, Matthew 25. The door was shut. They were outside. No fellowship with the bridegroom. No fellowship with Christ. Lost for all eternity. There's a great contrast in this verse here. In verse 8, he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Those who have sown to the Spirit will shine as the brightness of the firmament, as the stars forever and ever. Daniel 12:2. They will bear the image of the heavenly, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:49. And physically will be conformed to the body of Christ's glory. Philippians 3:21, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. What joy awaits the believer. Place in heaven. Everlasting life. They will be like Christ. They will see him as he is. Face to face with Christ my Savior. Face to face, what will it be? And with rapture I behold him. Jesus Christ who died for me. The Bible says concerning the harvest of the Spirit is life everlasting. Everlasting life. And what a glorious prospect that is. John 3:16 says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, listen, but have everlasting life. Which it will be for you, my friend, depends upon what you do with Christ in this life. Whether you accept him or reject him, what will you do with Christ tonight? What will you do with the Son of God who's offered to you in the gospel tonight? Will you accept him or will you reject him? Again, the words of the hymn writer in that hymn we've quoted a couple of times. Come to the Savior of sinners, come home. Why will you longer so aimlessly roam? While he is pleading, O wanderer, come. The Master is waiting for thee. Cease from thy waywardness, Jesus invites. List to the bride who with pleading unites, while the blessed Spirit in prayer now incites. The Master is waiting for thee. Come home. Come home like as a weary dove. Come home. Come home unto thy Father's love. Friend, as a boy of 11, over 50 years ago, I came to Christ. I came home. And you know, I've never regretted it for a single moment throughout all the ups and downs of life, the joys and the sorrows. I've never regretted coming to Christ. And friend, I tell you, if you'll come to me, you will never regret it. Sowing and reaping. There's a harvest to be reaped. What harvest would you reap? The harvest of sin or the harvest of eternal life? I pray it will be the latter. You'll come to Christ tonight and be saved. May God bless his word to our hearts.